You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this isn't obvious now. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have your company, Dave Kellner, in the studio ahead of the final weekend of the Premier League season. We're going to take a look at Brighton versus Manchester City and Liverpool versus Wolves. And of course, we will dissect maybe the best midweek of football ever. Two incredible comebacks. Spurs beating Ajax and Liverpool beating Barcelona to qualify for the Champions League final. Derek McGovern joins us on the line on this podcast. First of all, good morning to you, Derek.
How are you doing, Dave?
I'm well, how are you?
Yes, yes. Still come back down to earth after what happened at Anfield on Tuesday. Unbelievable.
And our guest from the FWA this week is the Executive Secretary of the FWA, Paul McCarthy, joins us on the line. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dave. Apologies for the croaky voice. Got a bit of a Hobson's, also not helped by screaming at the television for three nights running. It has to be said.
Let's start.
Wasn't it working?
got one of those old gas-powered ones dealt.
Let's start with what happened on Monday night, first of all, before we talk about the Champions League, because Paul, I didn't think it was going to get any better than that. Vincent Kompany scoring from outside the box for the first time in his career to give Manchester City the lead going into the final day of the season. They've looked maybe slightly shaky and nervy in the last month or so, Man City, relied on their defence more than they have done the previous, God knows how many weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. They go to Old Trafford and they won comfortably there. I think I'm glad Vincent, for Manchester City fans, I'm glad Vincent Kompany did score, because I couldn't actually see them scoring on Monday night. I think they did everything right, but they looked, when you talk about edginess, nervousness, they just had that little nervousness snatching at shots. Kyle Walker trying to pick out a 747 with his shot. it needed something. I was going to say miraculous, but after Tuesday night and Wednesday night, that's probably a weak analogy. It needed something special. And Vincent Kompany is, you know, that was just, he will never score another goal like that. He's never scored a goal like that previously. It was just one of those moments. We tend to call it the Aguero moment, don't we? But it was, you know, that had even more resonance on Monday night.
It means that Manchester City look likely to secure another Premier League title, looking to become the first team to retain the title since Manchester United did it back in 2008-2009. The latest odds are here with William Hill. Manchester City, long odds on to win the Premier League title. They're actually 4-6 to win next year's Premier League title as well. So City expected to beat Brighton on Sunday afternoon. We'll come to that game very, very shortly. Before we do that, we've got to talk about the Champions League midweek. I've never seen anything like it, Derek. That Liverpool went into the second leg without two of their most influential players in Mo Salah and Roberto Firmino. And they did pull off the impossible.
Well, they did. But firstly, I would take issue with the two most influential players. As you well know, Firmino, marvellous player, has stunk the place out this season. And you know my thoughts about Mo Salah. I actually, Dave, as you know from this podcast last week, I gave Liverpool zero chance of going through. But as Tuesday arrived and I knew the Egyptian clown wasn't playing, my confidence rose. I thought Liverpool would give a much better show for themselves without Salah. And as it proved, as it turned out, you know, I was right. I still didn't expect him to go through. It was amazing. And, you know, when you see a performance like that, I've been critical of Liverpool this season, which is daft, considering they're going to end the season with 97 points, it seems. But they never really, to me, they haven't really fired. But on Tuesday night, they were unbelievable. And what you had there was 11 players who, you know, player for player, probably couldn't match Barcelona. But I've never seen a better team performance. I've never seen more spirit from a side. And, you know, I'll put it down to a couple of things. Firstly, the Anfield effect. And secondly, they didn't have a selfish winger playing for them. They had 11 men fighting for Liverpool rather than themselves.
Was it all about Liverpool, Paul, or was it about the deficiencies of Barcelona? Because we've seen Barcelona wobble away from home in this competition in the past.
Yeah, I mean, there was an element of that, but I'm with Dell. I just think, unlike him, I actually did give Liverpool, and it was a long, long outside chance, because Dell mentioned it there, the Anfield effect. I've never, ever been to a ground on a big night game that resonates like Anfield does. Not in Italy, not in Germany, not in Spain, nowhere in this country. Old Trafford touched it every now and again. But by and large, Anfield for me is just incredible on a big night like that. I remember the Chelsea semi-final back in 2005. Just miraculous. And I don't know, I've not been to the new stadium, Anfield with the new stand yet, but they'll be able to tell me. Do you think the new stand helps create even more of an atmosphere, even more sort of resonance on a big night?
Well, there was a lot of criticism of it. I went in there with the first few games of that season. It opened and the atmosphere was terrible, but it often is an Anfield on a Saturday afternoon game. But it's just these European games. I think you could have a shed there and you'd still get the same atmosphere. It comes from the cop, mostly, doesn't it?
Chelsea have got a shed there and they don't.
Yeah, true.
But they were 14-1, by the way, going into the meeting on Tuesday night against Barcelona. It's a difficult game to analyse and dissect because there were just some individually brilliant performances, Paul. Trent Alexander-Arnold, his quick thinking, and Divock Origi, clinical with his finishing, and Gini Wijnaldum had maybe his best game ever.
Yeah, I thought Wijnaldum was the standout player, followed by Trent Alexander-Arnold. I think the development of Alexander-Arnold this season has been nothing short of fantastic. And I had this conversation with Andy Dunn, who's, you know, done this podcast many times and who Dell knows well, and Andy has nicked some of Dell's best lines over the years.
Can you give him in back, please?
but we were talking about it, and the one player you haven't mentioned there was Virgil van Dijk. And listen, we've got our Footballer of the Year presentation tonight, and he's missed out. He was second behind Raheem Sterling, but I do think that there is, as well as magnificent individual performances, he actually makes all those players around him better. You know, he brings people in. He helps. Listen, Matip is a better player for playing alongside Virgil van Dijk. So is Joe Gomez. Trent Alexander-Arnold, definitely. Andy Robertson, definitely. You know, that's the hallmark of a great player, if he can actually make those players around him better. So while he wasn't one of the three you mentioned there, I wouldn't underestimate the impact that he's had on the whole Liverpool team.
Liverpool 8-15, by the way, to win the Champions League here with William Hill, and they take on Spurs, who are 6-4. After what happened on Tuesday night, Derek, I don't think many neutrals could handle that amount of excitement for a second night running, but we got it. Spurs were 25-1 to qualify for the final at half time. Lucas Moura with a second half hat trick, turning that tie on its head. And the quick feet for the second goal, the ability to control his emotions for the third. Just another unbelievable night of sporting action. I'm not sure how that one happened because Spurs were dominated over the two legs, really. And the emotion, the business end of that second leg of the semi-final, Derek, incredible.
It was. I think we're going to need another referendum before Spurs will leave Europe. I mean, they've been written off so often this season. I thought they were my car. It's incredible. They were down and out in the group stage. I didn't even think they could possibly go through. Was it 1 point from the first three games in a group, you know, which was a tough group? You look down and out against City, down and out against Ajax. It's absolutely incredible what they did. And, you know, there's an argument. Whose was the better comeback, Liverpool's or Ajax?
Well, from an odds perspective, Derek, Spurs has given they were 25-1 to qualify, and Liverpool never went any bigger than 14s, given that quick start they got off to.
I'm a bit surprised about that, really. I mean, on the one hand, you could say that, you know, Liverpool were playing against, you know, one of the best teams in Europe with the best player in the world. And then on the other hand, you could say that Liverpool were playing against one of the best teams in Europe against the best player in the world. So you know where my thoughts are on whose was the better comeback. I tell you what, the odds for the final, what you just mentioned there, and I noticed that Spurs are 3-1 to win in 90 minutes, Liverpool shade of odds on. They're skewed. They are skewed. They really are. Both league games finished 2-1 for Liverpool. The second at Anfield was decided by an injury time goal OG from Alderweireld. And Spurs, you know what? Spurs had more possession in both games, including the one at Anfield. I know that's not massively important, but still, it shows. You know, they're pretty much Liverpool's equal. Liverpool, if favourite, put a gun to my head, say Liverpool. But those odds are ridiculous. 3-1 Spurs and it's to beat Liverpool. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I might be backing Spurs in that because it's just too big.
Spurs-Liverpool Champions League final in Madrid on the 1st of June. That should be a special occasion. And Mauricio Pochettino hinted that if they were to win the Champions League, Spurs, that might be it for his time at the club. And actually, when the FWA chair, Carrie Brown, interviewed him after that second leg on Wednesday night, Paul, he didn't really backtrack on that statement. Is that a power play to get Daniel Levy to spend in the summer, or do you think it's a genuine consideration that if they win the Champions League, he might leave?
I suspect it was the former. I suspect that having Daniel Levy, having not bought a player, I mean, we say, oh, Spurs haven't spent any money. What they have done is put all their big players, Kane, Dele Alli, people like that, all on massive long-term contracts. You know, six-year deals, I think.
Yeah.
So there is money has been spent, just not externally. I would suspect that. Okay, you ask yourself this question: if you are Mauricio Pochettino and you win the Champions League, where do you go? Where are you going to go? You're not going to get Real Madrid. You're not going to get Manchester United. One of the Italian teams, Juventus, is that an upgrade? I don't know. PSG, is that an upgrade, given that, you know, their weakness in getting past the latter stages of the Champions League? Don't forget, Lucas Moura, who, you know, scored a hat-trick last night, was the make-weight to allow Neymar to come in and for them to be able to, you know, spend all that money on him and his wages. And who's made a bigger impact in Europe this season? It was definitely Lucas Moura. So I suspect it's Pochettino flexing his muscles a little bit, making Spurs fans think this will be the end of the world if he goes. And listen, I think he and Daniel Levy get on very well. But like every manager wants something more from their chairman or owner. And he will just be, this is just a little reminder, a little minor shot across Levy's bow that, we've got something special going here. And if we win it, we need to build on it.
Is Barcelona a possibility? I know he's managed Espanyol in the past, so that might be a different...
I don't think he can, Kenny. I think, hasn't he said time and time again, I will never be the manager of Barcelona?
Before we hear from the guys on the final day of the Premier League season, it's time for one final dip into the European markets. There'll be a Naps table update from Lee a little bit later on in the podcast, and with the European Nap assured of showing a profit this season, the only thing left to play for is the coveted Punt Podcast Naps Table trophy. We're going to need to throw up a bit of a Hail Mary to catch Pete Farries, so this final nap of the season is going to have to be one at a bit of a price. It's the final day of the Bundesliga that could prove to be the most exciting climax on the continent, with five teams still in the hunt for the final Champions League spot. One such team is Bayer Leverkusen, who are currently fifth, level on points with Eintracht Frankfurt, but an inferior goal difference keeps them out of the top four. However, they've been doing everything they can to improve that goal difference in recent weeks, smashing Frankfurt 6-1 last weekend, and it could have been more. Leverkusen scored all six goals in the first 36 minutes and coasted to victory after that. A 4-1 win over Augsburg preceded that game, and hopefully they could inflict a similar scoreline on Schalke this weekend. Schalke's top flight status is assured for next season now, so they have nothing to play for, and it's been a very poor season for them anyway. They're without a number of key players for the season finale too, and have shown their defensive deficiencies on plenty of occasions this term. They shipped 5 away goals at Hoffenheim a few weeks ago, and of course Manchester City hit them for 7 this year in the Champions League too. The final European placings really could come down to goal difference, which should provide extra motivation for Leverkusen. For those who don't need a big winner to catch Pete Farries, Leverkusen -2 is the recommendation this week. But we do, so I'll go for Leverkusen -3 goals at 5-1 to hopefully end the season with another big winner.
Let's talk about this weekend then. Champions League final odds 8-15 for Liverpool to lift the trophy. Spurs 6-4. That's on the 1st of June. Lots more talking about that game and the build up to it. But we've got the final day of the Premier League season and the title race still to be decided. Manchester City 95 points, Liverpool 94 points going into the weekend. Manchester City have won their last 13 Premier League games to stay ahead of Liverpool. That's a phenomenal achievement in itself. And Manchester City 2-13 to go to Brighton and win. Brighton are 16-1, the draw 7-1. Enhanced odds, City to win by 4 or more was 21-10. That's been enhanced to 5-2. Sergio Aguero to score 2 or more in the match was 5-2. That's been boosted to 3-1. I've given up trying to predict what's going to happen in football matches, Derek, but surely there's not going to be a twist in this tale.
Well, isn't it amazing? It's a sign of how dominant City and Liverpool have become. That you go into a scenario like this on the final weekend of the season, let's say 15, 20 years ago, you'd be thinking, this is bang up for grabs. You know, the team who were top away from home on the final day,
yeah,
the team chasing them at home. You know, that would have been, it would have been nail-biting. But we know City are going to go to Brighton and win because they go pretty much everywhere and win. But one thing I would say, 2-13, yeah, I can understand why they're so short. I mean, they're playing against a team who are safe now with nothing at stake. But we said that about Newcastle last week, Liverpool at Newcastle. And in a funny way, that performance from Toon against Liverpool raises the possibility of Brighton giving it a real go. If Brighton were away from home here, yeah, you know, it would probably be like 8-0 for City. But they've got a duty, you know, to their home fans on the final day of the season, at least, you know, to pull a leg out. And you remember, it's only a few years ago, City, they were at home to QPR, weren't they, in that final day of the season?
Yeah.
When, you know, they needed to win, QPR, I think, were already down. It was, you know, it was about a 1-1 million chance, City, and they may have almost cocked it up. What I'm saying is, they will play a big part. You know, and they might hear from Anfield that Liverpool are winning easily against Wolves because Wolves have got nothing to play for and they are away from home. You know, and now all of a sudden City's performance might be a bit,
But Wolves' record against the top six, though, is phenomenal this season, isn't it?
And I'm not getting fooled, Paul, by Wolves' performance against Liverpool in the FA Cup. I mean, you know, that kid keeps getting brought into the equation. And, you know, Liverpool didn't try a leg that night. You know, I think they played about three. They played their Bugsy Malone 11 that night. They just didn't try. So I'm not getting...
Yeah, I'm thinking more of the league performances, though. I mean, they go to places and they give it a go. And I don't think they can change. I think both teams will win. But I think it will be... the mentality of and the strength of the Manchester City team in comparison to that team... under Mancini when they won the league with the last kick of the game. I think they are light years away from that now. I think there's just a mental strength there that they didn't have under Mancini. And Mancini was a flake, and at times they played, his teams played like flakes, but you know, they got over the line. I would and pushed all the way by United, obviously. But I would say that they will win comfortably at Brighton. I don't think Brighton are a good enough team, even if they do give it a go, to worry Manchester City.
Are you going with Manchester City to win by a few then, Paul, in this game?
I would say I think they will go ahead quickly, and that will knock the stuffing out of Brighton. I think they could win by
three clear.
Manchester City minus two goals in the match, so to win by three or more, basically, is available at 11-10. And if you fancy Man City minus three in the match, that's 11-4. But Derek, you've made a bit of cash in the last few weeks opposing Manchester City on the handicaps. And given they have won the last, or three of the last four, 1-0, the other one 2-0, that's been a profitable route in the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, it just seems inconceivable that City can win the title by winning their last 14 games without a hiccup at all. I'm having it. I know that they're brilliant and Brighton are pretty much useless, and I know all that. But I just got to believe that there's going to be something, there's going to be a few nerves at play here. So I'm going to go for Brighton plus two goals at 6-4.
Okay, the other game that matters on Sunday is, of course, Liverpool versus Wolves. Liverpool 32-100 to win the match. The draw 17-4. Wolves in the betting at 17-2. Enhancements on the William Hill website and on the app. If you fancy Liverpool to win both halves, that was 15-8. That's been boosted to 9-4. And Mo Salah to score first was 3-1. That's now 4-1. Paul, you mentioned, Liverpool and Spurs defied the odds midweek. Wolves have been doing it all season. They've beaten Chelsea, Spurs, Arsenal and Manchester United in the Premier League. Derek seems to think that Liverpool are going to steamroller Wolves given they've got nothing to play for. But Wolves have had a terrific season, finished seventh in the Premier League, which is a great success on their first full season in the top flight.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, their player of the season has been, without a shadow of a doubt, Jorge Mendes, who's brought in the sort of players that Wolverhampton, could barely have dreamed of like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. They're a good team, very good team. They've got some excellent standout individuals. I think they've got a fantastic manager. He is one of the world's most boring men in press conferences, but we'll forgive him that. Forgive him that because his teams are exciting, and Wolves have been exciting to watch this season. I think it's a great achievement. I mean, listen, I suspect their wage bill is for a team that's just promoted out of the Championship. I guess that's the highest wage bill that a promoted team has ever had, but they've used it wisely. They've spent wisely. They've got smart loans in. Jorge Mendes has helped pull the strings. And if you've got one of the world's super agents on board, yeah, I think why wouldn't you use him? And they've maximized his reach and his experience. And the Portuguese market has been rich pickings for them.
Your prediction in this game, Liverpool versus Wolves, then, Paul?
1-0 Liverpool.
Liverpool to win the game by a goal to nil is 6-1. Derek?
Well, it's a tough one to call this because, yeah, I expect Liverpool to beat Wolves because Wolves have got nothing to play for and away from home. But I do appreciate you. They are a good team, capable on the day of beating anybody. What I worry about this one is that the Liverpool players are going to get an unbelievable reception before the game, and rightly so after what happened in midweek. I mean, they were sensational. But the party could fall flat a little bit. You know, there'll be a little bit of belief from Liverpool fans going there that they could still win the title. But it could fall flat if they hear from down on the south coast, the city of coasting. And then you wouldn't really want to be on a 1-3 poke, would you, or whatever price Liverpool are.
Yeah.
I find this a tough one to call for that reason. But I do one bet that sticks out. It's absolutely screaming out, back me, Del, back me, Del. Both teams to score, even money. So back it, I will.
Sadio Mane, by the way, is 19-20 to score any time, 16-5 to score first in the match. He's scored more goals at home than any other player in the Premier League this season, got 16. So if you're looking for a first goal scorer, 16-5, Sadio Mane might be the pick.
What a performance he gave the other night, by the way. He was absolutely unbelievable, Sadio Mane. I just love the guy.
He's had a tremendous season, hasn't he?
Yeah, tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
By the way, Lee Phelps has got an update on the Naps table as well. Finally finished that Naps table. I've not got it yet, Derek, so I'll slide it in after this, after the podcast is recorded.
I won't be listening.
Derek, you're not that far down for the season, actually, which surprised me when I was going back through the results, I'll be honest.
I've been wondering why DK hasn't updated the Naps for a while, and now I understand. Minus £47.55. But DK isn't the worst. I've come out into this cavernous location to look for an FWA winner. Couldn't find one anywhere. Minus £171.06. So good job they're good at writing. Al Ross is in between the FWA and DK with minus £67.23 for his League Two naps. And Derek McGovern, minus £6.77. That's a triumph when you look back at Derek's past performances on the punt over the last decade or so. Into the black then, and Euro boys are sitting pretty on £43.75. Gav P with his League One naps, £54.75. And top of the shop, with 1 week to go, Pete Farries, his championship best bets have got him a total of £93.25. The Euro boys are the only ones who can catch him, you may have heard. Leverkusen minus three at 5-1. If that cops and Pete's doesn't, the Euro boys will be the winners of the naps table.
Let's finish with a nap then. Paul, your best bet you can pick from either of these two games? You like
I'll
Man City to win easy, don't you?
Man City to win by three clear.
Yeah, Man City minus 2, 11-10 then, Paul's best bet this weekend. Derek, have you got a fancy for the weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, there's all, on the last day of the season, I say this every season, I'm surprised anyone listens to me anymore, Dave, is that there's always a fluke scoreline, you know, like a 5-all or something like that. There's always, and I think I picked a game out last season. I can't remember which one it was. I think it's Tottenham. Can't remember. But there's going to be one of those, and I'm looking for the game most likely, and I've decided that it's Palace against Bournemouth. I think that could be any score, and it's 3-1 for both sides to score in the first half, so I'm having that.
Okay, 3-1 for both sides to score in the first half for Derek. I'm going with Leicester to beat Chelsea. Chelsea of the Europa League on their minds. Leicester finishing the season strongly. I think they'll beat Chelsea in that game at the King Power. So that treble with Bournemouth, Palace, both teams to score in the first half at 3-1. City minus 2 at 11-10. Leicester at 17-10. Pays just over 21-1 here with William Hill. If you're getting involved with that final Premier League treble this season. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Paul, thank you for yours, and enjoy the Footballer of the Year, FWA Footballer of the Year Awards this evening as well.
That's great. Thanks. Cheers, Dave. Cheers, Del.
Cheers, Paul.
We're going to finish this podcast with a look at the Football League playoffs this weekend in the company of Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross, starting with the Championship and Pete Farries.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries and I'm taking a break from my Lemsip to talk to you about the Championship playoff games. And to be honest, I think there's a really good double here. A draw double, 9.23-1 for that. Now, of course, West Brom drew against Villa in one of their two head-to-head this season. You look at Derby Leeds, no draws, but a great deal between those two sides around the second game and since. And I think it'll be two very tight, low-scoring affairs. In fact, last year's Championship playoffs saw every single match finish unders on the goals. So that's going to be my nap as well. I'm going to look at Derby Leeds and play under 2.5 goals at 8-13 as my nap. Yes, there was a 4-1, of course, when Derby hosted Leeds last time around, but I ultimately think the way to go here is with the unders. So under 2.5 goals in the Derby Leeds game is my nap at 8-13, but take a look at a draw double here in the first legs. That is 9.23-1. Let's hear from Gav Pushalowski and get his thoughts on League One.
Looking ahead to League One playoffs, the first legs underway. Sunderland Portsmouth 7:30 on Saturday night. Doncaster Charlton 12:15 on Sunday afternoon. Sunderland are 13-10, Portsmouth 11-5. 11-5 for the draw, and that is the play for me. Nothing to separate these two sides who wanted to avoid each other in the playoffs, and two sides who wanted to avoid the playoffs full stop. Both harboured real ambitions to go up automatically, but their form tailed off towards the end of the season. Playoffs it is. Sunderland's form is absolutely woeful. Just 2 wins in the last 8 games, no wins in the last 4. 2 away defeats to finish off their season away at Fleetwood 2-1 and Southend United 2-1. And Sunderland's last home game was a 1-1 draw against Portsmouth. Portsmouth's form is better than that of Sunderland. And it also finished all square between these two sides in the Ticket Trade Trophy at Wembley. Level after 90, level after extra time penalties it was. I'm expecting Portsmouth to get a draw at Sunderland, then turn him over at Fratton Park. So for me, Sunderland-Portsmouth, draw 11-5. Doncaster Charlton underway on Sunday afternoon. Doncaster with two wins back to back to finish off their season, pipping Peterborough into the playoffs. Charlton are in fine form. Lee Bowie's done a great job at Charlton, having won seven of their last eight games. And Charlton at 11-5 are quite simply too big. Charlton, good home and away. Doncaster, very good at home. Average away from home. So the emphasis is on the home side to get a result here. And when these teams met in the league, it finished 1-1 here at the Keepmoat Stadium, and it was 0-0 at half-time, just as it was at the Valley, 0-0 after 45 minutes. So look at a draw at half-time, look at a goalless first half, look at a couple of goals in the second half, but still the draw at 11-5 between Doncaster and Charlton. So Sunderland-Portsmouth, 11-5 draw, Doncaster-Charlton, 11-5 draw, put them together, just shy of 10-1. Best of luck with your bets. Looking at the League Two playoffs, here's Al Ross.
The first leg of the first semi is simple. Never trust a team that goes into the playoffs on bad form. Never back against a side at home who are in as good a form as Newport County. Man City in the FA Cup remain the last visiting team to win at Rodney Parade. And league-wise, last night at home, six wins, two draws, one defeat, conceding just two. Undefeated, home or away, in 11 games, during which time Newport have conceded just three goals. Mansfield away in their last nine, 1-1, drawn three, lost six, failing to score in four of them. Heading into the playoffs, Mansfield three straight defeats. Newport, therefore, 6-4 is madness. Newport and unders, 19-5 is insanity. The second playoff is trickier in some respects. Tranmere do their best work at home. Forest Green better on the road. Tranmere go in worse form, but they have the home advantage. I think it's a pick'em. The traders don't. They've got Tranmere 5-4 and Forest Green 23-10. That is disrespectful to the away side. And with four wins in five away, Forest Green 23-10 has to be the play. Ally that with Newport 6-4. That is a surprisingly sizable 7.25-1 double. Standout price and my nap this week, though, has to be for a team who win and don't concede to win and not concede. Newport and under 2.5 goals at 19-5.
That's it for the podcast then, folks. Thank you for listening throughout the entire season to the William Hill Punt Podcast. Still plenty more punt podcasts to come as well, with the Europa League final, the Champions League final, the FA Cup final to come as well. Check out all the betting for the matches this weekend in the Premier League, which of course is Sunday afternoon. All those games kicking off at 3 o'clock, by going to sports.williamhill.com and checking out the odds on the app as well. And of course, we've got Championship, League One, League Two, playoffs and action on the continent as well, which Sam Norris previewed earlier on in the podcast. Thank you to Derek McGovern for his contribution, and to the Executive Secretary of the FWA, Paul McCarthy, for his reflections on the Champions League and a look ahead to the final day of the Premier League season as well. You can follow me on Twitter at dkellner, and you can check out all the latest odds at sports.williamhill.com and on the app. Enjoy the football this weekend. Will there be one final twist in the tail? We'll see.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.